This podcast is brought to you by Money Control. Hello and welcome to Money Control. You're listening to In the News and I'm your host Anvita Bansal. Today is Tuesday, February 25th, and I'll be bringing you all the latest updates from India and around the world. But before that, as I always mention, a small note on our Money Control app. The Money Control app gives its readers content in English, Hindi and Gujarati. Do check out the language option on the app. And now moving on to our top stories of the day. Protests related to Citizenship Amendment Act took a violent turn in the northeast areas of Delhi. We'll also give you all the latest details on the US President Donald Trump's maiden visit to India. Media reports suggest that 6 Supreme Court judges have caught swine flu infection. And lastly, we'll talk about how Harvey Weinstein, the disgraced former Hollywood producer, was found guilty of the criminal sexual assault and of rape in the third degree in New York court in the Me Too movement. Well, protests related to CAA took a violent turn in the areas of Northeast Delhi after pro and anti-CAA protesters clashed. As violence continues, I have with me my colleague Atharva Pandit to give us the latest updates on the story. Hi Atharva, thank you for joining in.
Hello. So, like you said, Anvita, the situation is grim. It's grim even more because the clashes have now, reports suggest that they have now turned into communal clashes. And there have been reports today. Yesterday, the number of casualties were 5 by the end of the day. But there have been reports now that the number of casualties have increased to 10. And there have also been reports that the violence has been unabated, has continued unabated today, with reports coming in of arson in Khajuri Khas area of Northeast Delhi, where an auto rickshaw was broken and a bike was set on fire at around 5 p.m. today. And there were also reports of stone pelting, which still continues in areas of several areas of Delhi, in fact, including Bhajanpura and Chandbagh. So, like I said, even as we speak, the situation remains grim. The police has, of course, responded to the whole situation. And Home Minister Amit Shah, along with Delhi Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal, held a meeting today along with senior police officials. And according to sources, which told CNN News 18, that during the meeting, the police officials told the Home Minister that the police force was not adequate and they were lacking in numbers in terms of the police force, which is why they could not contain the violence which occurred yesterday. Now, police and the Rapid Action Force, they are holding flag march in Khajuri Khas area of Delhi. They held a flag march at 6 p.m. So you can understand what the situation currently in Northeast Delhi is. Delhi Police Special CP Satish Golcha, he said that they would be detaining the miscreants and taking legal action against them. He also said that people should cooperate with us to maintain peace. In that regard, what the police as well as the political establishment or the administration have done is that they have reactivated the so-called peace committees to try and talk to people, locals trying and talking to locals and administration talking to the people in order to maintain peace. But I mean, this doesn't seem to be helping if we look at the situation right now, because violence has continued unabated, like I said. Now, Section 144 has also been imposed in areas which have been affected by violence. So far, according to the police, 11 FIRs have been registered and some people have also been detained. According to the police, the situation is now under control and the police is responding promptly to any untoward incident. But then again, before, the Delhi police has come under a lot of criticism because of the way that they have handled the situation, as well as there have been videos on social media which do not show the Delhi police in a very good light. So this is what the situation is right now, and it remains so right now. But we are hopeful that the situation is brought under control and that the violence sort of ends soon.
Right. Atharva, has the curfew been imposed and is the army going to be called in?
So to answer your first question, like I said, section 144, which prevents the assembly of four people at a particular place, that has been imposed, but curfew hasn't been imposed. A blanket curfew hasn't been imposed in areas where the violence has occurred. But reports suggest that the police has been suggesting and telling people to remain within their homes and not go out because of the tense situation that is prevailing in the area.
Right.
Yes, well, curfew, blanket curfew hasn't been imposed. Section 144 has been imposed in areas which have witnessed violence. As for army, the army being called in, there were reports, there was some speculation that the army might be called in, and there were also videos which were going around which showed that there were, you know, there were personnel in army uniform in areas of violence. But the official Indian Armed Forces Twitter account said that the army hasn't been deployed to deal with the internal security situation that we see right now. The CNN News 18 also reported, quoting sources today morning, that during the meeting with Home Minister Amit Shah, there was no discussion regarding armed forces being deployed in the affected area. So right now, no, there was speculation, but no armed, the deployment of army is not currently on the radar.
Well, moving on to our next story, US President Donald Trump is on his maiden visit to India, and considering today being the day 2 of his visit, Athura, can you please give us all the details?
Of course. So, yes, like you mentioned, this was Donald Trump's second day here. And the last one. So he was given a ceremonious welcome today morning. And from then on, he had, of course, the bilateral engagements with Prime Minister Modi. And then he had a session with the top business leaders of India, wherein he interacted with them. And that was kind of more of a private visit, the top business leaders from India discussed with him regarding the their businesses in the US.
Right.
But the majority of what happened during these 2 days was spoken by Trump during his press conference earlier today, sometime back. So from that particular press conference, we had three news points or three major points that came to the fore. One of them was when he was asked a question about the hate crimes which are increasing in India against Muslims. He said that he did discuss about that with Prime Minister Modi, and he said that we discussed about Muslims and Christians, and we talked about religious liberty. Prime Minister Modi told me that they were working very closely with the Muslim community. So that is what he said. That was his response to that question, that particular question.
Right.
Then there were also questions about the Citizenship Amendment Act, which is a contentious topic in India, like we all know. The CAA, as well as the Delhi violence,
right.
The US President Donald Trump said that those are internal matters for India. He hasn't discussed those things with Prime Minister Modi. The second thing was that he was also asked about Pakistan, and particularly about Kashmir, because you know he has said before that he would be ready to mediate on Kashmir between India and Pakistan.
Right.
So about that, he said that we talked a lot about Pakistan, Prime Minister Modi and Trump. I have a very good relationship with Pakistan Prime Minister Imran Khan. India is a brave nation. And I said I will help because my relationship with both the leaders is good. Anything I can do to mediate, I will do. However, he did not particularly talk about Kashmir, that we need to take into consideration. I mean, this is not him saying that he will mediate between India and Pakistan regarding Kashmir, but, you know, on other issues probably.
Right.
So he also said that there are two sides to every story, and Kashmir is an issue or is a thorn between India and Pakistan. So that is what he basically said. He also said that Prime Minister Modi is a very strong man. He's a very tough man, and he has got that terrorism is foremost on Prime Minister Modi's mind, and he will take care of it. That is what he said. So he was also asked about his visit and the reception that he received. And he said that it was a fantastic visit, and he repeated that India is a tremendous country which has a lot of potential in terms of, you know, progressing and developing. So, and he also said that, you know, the relationship between this is a friendship diplomacy that he witnessed, and of course, like he said yesterday, the relationship between India and US is strong and it will get stronger.
Right, thank you so much, Atharva, for giving us all those insights.
Thank you.
Well, moving on to our next story, we discuss how media reports state that 6 Supreme Court judges catch a swine flu infection. To give us all the latest updates on the story, I have with me my colleague Siddesh Raut. Siddesh, what are the steps being taken to tackle the issue?
So we had Supreme Court Justice D.Y. Chandrachud, where he had announced that about 6 judges of the apex court are suffering from the H1N1 flu, or rather swine flu. These media reports also quoted Chandrachud saying that they had spoken to the Chief Justice of India, Arvind Bobade, to figure out what could be the possible remedial steps to be taken. So Chandrachud had even advised Arvind Bobade, Chief Justice Arvind Bobade, saying that all the people, all the staff who are part of the Supreme Court and all the judges should be inoculated, or rather vaccinated, against the H1N1 virus. The media reports had also quoted Supreme Court Justice Arun Mishra, where he advised one of his senior colleagues to not come into the Supreme Court premises, or to not show up to work if he's feeling unwell. Media reports also quoted one Dushyant Dave, who is the president of the Supreme Court Bar Association, where he said that the government would most likely be even setting up a dispensary in the Supreme Court to carry out these possible vaccinations. And we are yet to get some amount of clarity as to how this will possibly affect the kind of court rulings and the hearings that are being taken up by these 6 Supreme Court justices.
Right. Siddesh, can you also please tell us how the Supreme Court judges caught this infection?
And there's still some clarity yet to be awaited on how these Supreme Court judges were infected with the virus in the first place.
Thank you so much, Siddesh, for all those insights. Well, moving on to our next story and talking about the Me Too movement, Harvey Weinstein, the disgraced former Hollywood producer, was found guilty of criminal sexual assault and of rape in the third degree in a New York court. To give us all the latest updates on this story, I have with me my colleague Shraddha Sharma. Well, the Me Too movement had shaken the Hollywood industry, and the Bollywood had also seen some of its ripple effect. And finally, after so long, we get a closure. Shraddha, can you please share some details on the story?
So yes, Anvita, the courts have found guilty. Harvey Weinstein is guilty of third degree rape and first degree criminal sexual act. As we can recall, he was the one of the most powerful people in Hollywood, a renowned movie producer. He'll now be jailed from 5 years to up to 29 years that we can expect. So several women had come out, Jessica Min for raping and Mimi Hayali for sexual assault. And but what we heard in the trial was Harvey's attorneys say that he never had a chance at a fair trial. But he was actually acquitted of the more serious charges, that is predatory sexual assault. If he were to found guilty of this charge, he would have been sentenced to life in prison. That was a possibility. But Weinstein's attorney argued that the sexual encounters were consensual. So there were a lot of this in the trial room. But the women's testimonies actually highlighted a major problem that is to do with, consent and the power dynamics that, you know, the Me Too movement was all about that. And on Monday night, although Weinstein was taken to the one of the New York hospitals after he complained of chest pain and high blood pressure, but we are seeing that the Me Too movement that was founded in 2006 by the activist and writer Tarana Burke was actually, it was a victory for the movement in a way, because the allegations of sexual abuse on Weinstein ignited the very movement. And over 80 women accused him of sexual misconduct at various levels. So now the sentencing is scheduled for March 11. So we will hear that what is the term that he will have to serve. So the jury that laid out the judgment was consisted of 7 men and 5 women. They deliberated for nearly 27 hours over 5 days. So now, you know, it is being celebrated as the day of survivors and the Me Too movement, which was ignited by this very case when this powerful figure in Hollywood was brought down by a number of women for his sexual misconduct. So this is what we know on the case. We'll have to wait for March 11th to actually hear the sentencing.
Well, as we all wait for the final judgment, we hope that justice prevails. Thank you so much, Shraddha, for all those details.
Thank you, Anvita, for having me.
Well, with that, it's a wrap on this edition of In the News. In case if you have any queries or suggestions for us, please do write to us on mcpodcast@nw18.com. Until then, this is your host, Anvita, signing off. For more news, views and updates, please stay logged on to moneycontrol.com. Thank you so much for listening.